which weren't always available to women in our society. My wife likes to recall a time at Gitanagari when Vasugyad did a performance of Kunti and Karna meeting. She played Kunti and her husband, Loitaksha Prabhu, he played Karna. A very heart-rendering performance, very, very moving performance. And in my mind, it sort of cements Rasagya as the grand lady of ISKCON theater. Actually, ISKCON theater doesn't exist today as it existed in those days. Devotees like Rasagya, Lokamangala, Loitaksha, who somehow or another, all three of them, have passed on from this world at this point in time. They were the center of, and also Sudama Maharaj, who's also passed from this world at this time. Their full-time service was theater. And on 55th Street in New York, there was a theater in the building. So it was a grand time in ISKCON history for theater and for these artists to use their skills to present Krishna consciousness to the world. Rasagya was very tall and beautiful, the epitome of an actress. And her performances, as I say, were extremely moving. I had two experiences with her that I wanted to relate to you this evening. The first took place at a conference of leaders here in North America. And as I say, it was from another era. I hope it was from another era as we, at this new beginning of the new year, look back. I hope it was another era. But it was an era, as I say, in which Rasagya, although such an accomplished artist and devotee, was actually denied opportunities in so many ways. At this meeting, there was discussion of what the role of women would be in ISKCON. Should they be allowed to give class? Should they be allowed to do so many things? This is what was being discussed. And this is why I say, I hope it's from a previous era. Because in the back of the room, Rasagya sat with Nandi Mukhi and one other lady. And I could sense from the discussion the frustration that they were feeling. And so, out of turn, I sort of stood up and I made a statement which I hoped would capture their feelings and at the same time bring some sense to the discussion. So I stood up and said, "What y'all niggers want anyway?" Because it was that kind of discussion. Here were senior Vaishnavis, someone like Rasagya, who has such an impact in giving Krishna consciousness to others, yet they had to be the subject matter of discussion about what they can do or can't do in spreading Krishna consciousness. So it was an unfortunate era in that regard, but devotees, Vaishnavis such as Rasagya, such noble people who struggled through that and still were determined to give Krishna consciousness to others, that's an inspiration. It should be an inspiration for all of us. In the later years, the last time I saw her, I think it was the last time I saw her, was in Mayapur. And there was a group of young children in the Gurukula in Mayapur, and they were going to put on a play. But when it was discovered that Rasagya was there, there was a hurried meeting gathered where all those young children could meet with her. And so I had the fortune of being able to attend that meeting also. And she was sitting there like a Oh, just like a famous star, actress, giving tips and lessons to these young children in acting to help them, and speaking of her experiences in ISKCON Theater. It was very inspiring for me to see her interact with those young children in that way. And although, as I said, she was a famous star being presented to these small children, she had such a humble demeanor when she sat there speaking with them and among the other Vaishnavas. So I was very impressed by that, just as much as I was impressed by her acting. And so now, with her passing, as I say, Sudama, Loitaksha, Lokamangala, and now Rasigya, those four stars of ISKCON Theater in that bygone age of ISKCON Theater have left us. So we've lost something. And I think we should ponder a minute to think about what we've lost, how we can remember them, and do our best by them as we go forward in the future. So this evening I wanted to speak a little bit also from Bhagavad Gita about New Year's resolutions. The ancient Romans, they had a figure on their calendar that was Janus. Janus, and there was a two-headed figure, one looking back and one looking forward. And so we look back at Rasigya. So let's look forward a little bit in this new decade of 2010. Actually, I'm quite stoked for the new year. I think it holds a lot of excitement to come, and I hope that all of you will also be excited about it, or are excited about it. What's the number one thing to be excited about here in New Ramanreti in the year 2010? Jai Shri Balarama Ki. Yes, this year we will install, finally, Shri Krishna Balaram. It's quite an accomplishment. And I think so much credit has to be given to Mother Mukhya for working this past year to make it a reality as we approach 2010. Shri Krishna Balaram have been here for a number of years, but we will see that installation this year. And so that's something to look forward to. Actually, I have dibs on carrying Krishna Balaram onto the altar. At least if they give me their mercy, I would like to be able to do that. But that installation will obviously be a wonderful service opportunity for all of us in so many ways. So that's one thing to look forward to in the year 2010. There's also something else that is very much dear to a member, dear member of our community here, that will take place next month, February 2010. Actually, a very historic event. Our own Ambarish Prabhu will be leading the groundbreaking ceremony for the temple of the Vedic Planetarium that will be built in Sridham Mayapur. Due to his efforts and his financial contributions, that project has also moved towards the point where they will do the groundbreaking in February for that temple, which is a temple predicted by none other than Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and will spread Krishna consciousness as a beacon for centuries to come. So that's something very encouraging, enlivening to look forward to in the year 2010, especially if we can link ourselves with our Alachua Ken Amarish Prabhu and wish him well on that project and participate. 2010 will also bring us our whole Rath Yatra festival season again that Bhaja Prabhu organizes every year, which is a very wonderful opportunity for all of us to go and chant and dance all over the state of Florida to give Krishna consciousness out in many ways. And then there are the annual holidays that we celebrate, beginning this year very quickly with Nityananda's appearance day, Srila Dvaitacharya's appearance day, actually, which I think is only a couple of weeks away. Nityananda Prabhu's appearance day before the end of the month, and then Gaur Purnima before the end of February. So these holidays are coming very quickly this year, followed by our other traditional celebrations. Actually, that's the wonderful thing about Krishna consciousness, is that as each year passes, we get the opportunity to do it again. Now, you might think, well, it's going to get old doing it again. We're going to do Janmashtami again. We're going to do Prabhupada's Vyasa Puja again. We're going to do... But actually, it's not experienced like that. Oh, we get to do it again. When do we get to celebrate again? So each year that passes actually just represents another opportunity for us to celebrate Krishna's appearance, to celebrate Prabhupada's appearance, to engage in functions over and over again throughout our lives, which get more and more ecstatic each time we engage in them. Now, I'll give you a little hint about how to celebrate these festivals over and over again so that they become very relishable. When I was living in Los Angeles, you know, they have the annual Rath Yatra there in, on Venice Beach. And the first few years I lived there, I went to the festival with the idea that, well, this is a festival. I'm going to enjoy Rath Yatra. So you went, and it was nice the first year, and a little less the second year, and a little less the year after that. But then I finally realized that, well, these festivals are an opportunity for service. So when I switched my mentality and started thinking, well, I'm going to serve, I'm going to do this service at Rath Yatra this year, that service at Rath Yatra next year. When I took that service mentality, then the festivals really started to become enjoyable experiences, blissful experiences. So as we celebrate these festivals year after year, we should do them with an attitude of service. If we take that attitude of service, then we'll really get the Lord's mercy, the great devotee's mercy, as we go through these practices every year. So based on my own experience, I would advise that do some service during those festivals, and you'll find them millions of times more enjoyable. So these are some things to look forward to in the year. And because many people at this time of year make New Year's resolutions, I want to read a verse that will be encouraging, hopefully be encouraging to all of you if you are one of those people who make New Year's resolutions. This is text number 40 from the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita. I'll just read the Sanskrit and then translation and purport. Nihavi kramo nasto sti pratyavayo navidyate svalpamapi ashyadharmasya trayate mahato vayat. In this endeavor there is no loss or diminution, and a little advancement on this path can protect one from the most dangerous type of fear. Purport. Activity in Krishna consciousness, or acting for the benefit of Krishna without expectation of sense gratification, is the highest transcendental quality of work. Even a small beginning of such activity finds no impediment, nor can that small beginning be lost at any stage. Any work begun on the material plane has to be completed, otherwise the whole attempt becomes a failure. But any work begun in Krishna consciousness has a permanent effect, even though not finished. The performer of such work is therefore not at a loss, even if his work in Krishna consciousness is incomplete. 1% done in Krishna consciousness bears permanent results, so that the next beginning is from the point of 2%, whereas in material activity, without a 100% success, there is no profit. Ajamil performed his duty to some percentage of Krishna consciousness, but the result he enjoyed at the end was 100% by the grace of the Lord. There is a nice verse in this connection in Srimad Bhagavatam. If someone gives up sense gratificatory pursuits and works in Krishna consciousness and then falls down on account of not completing his work, what loss is there on his part? And what can one gain if one performs this, his material activity perfectly? Bhagavatam 1:5:17. Or, as the Christians say, what profiteth a man if he gains the whole world, yet suffers the loss of his eternal soul? Material activities and their results end with the body, but work in Krishna consciousness carries the person again to Krishna consciousness, even after the loss of the body. At least one is sure to have a chance in the next life of being born again as a human being, either in the family of a great cultured Brahmana or in a rich aristocratic family that will give one a further chance for elevation. That is the unique quality of work done in Krishna consciousness. So who here has ever made a New Year's resolution that they failed to keep? That's pretty good percentage.
Robert, we have a guest here. First time he never came to meet them.
Okay.
Close to me for the temple, so I was coming. At the same time he requested, let's go to the temple. Say, hallelujah, let's come.
Very good.
That is like a Sarvama Krishna Swadharma Maya Prahidam Adhavari.
Yes. Your endeavor of coming here, sir, will be rewarded millions of times. And it'll be easier to come back the next time as well. So for those of you who've ever made a New Year's resolution and couldn't keep it, you're not alone. According to the website Quirkology.com, Quirkology being the curious study of everyday human life, they say that 52% of people who make the New Year's resolutions are confident when they make them, but unfortunately, only 12% actually achieve their goal. Now, if you look at this from the standpoint of the material activity as described by Srila Prabhupada in his purport, it has to be a pretty frustrating affair. Only 12% are successful in carrying out their goals. And the rest lose everything. That's the nature of material life. If you don't complete it 100%, you lose it all. But Krishna consciousness is something very different. If, as our friend, if we make the endeavor, like he's made, of coming once to the temple, that becomes a permanent asset. The benefit gained from the trouble you've taken to come here this day will be your eternal credit. It'll be your eternal credit. And so any endeavor we make in Krishna consciousness is like that. And so therefore, when we make our New Year's resolutions, we should try to make them in terms of doing something Krishna conscious. Most people make resolutions that simply deal with the external circumstances of the body or the mind. But these things, being products of material nature, will also vanquish and be lost in time. So if we make our determination, our resolutions, in terms of some kind of spiritual undertaking, even if we don't execute it completely, even if for some reason we cannot fulfill our vow we are not the loser. It becomes part of our permanent credit. This is how kind and merciful the Lord is. That if you take one step towards Him, He takes 10 steps towards you. Srila Prabhupada has told us that Krishna, and He knows Krishna, so He tells us about Krishna. He says, Krishna, He's more anxious for you to come back to Godhead than you are to go back to Godhead. Therefore, He comes Himself as an avatar. He descends to this world time and time again to show us His eternal pastimes, to give us good instruction that we find in Bhagavad Gita, and to drag us kicking and screaming back home, back to Godhead. This is His mercy to us. So if we can just turn to Him even slightly with a favorable state of mind and engage in some form of devotional service, that will be a very, very great benefit to us. It'll attract Krishna's attention. And then He'll put all resources of the spiritual world at our disposal. He sends His pure devotees, such as Srila Prabhupada, to come to this world. And just consider the mentality of the pure devotee like Srila Prabhupada. He didn't come to this world thinking that, come to the Western world, to the United States, to America, thinking that, yes, I'll go there and I will deliver them. He didn't go there thinking that at all. He was thinking, what can I do here? These people are so engrossed in the modes of passion and ignorance. How will they hear the message of Krishna? How will they hear? Why have you brought me here? He prayed on the pier at Commonwealth Pier in Boston. But anyway, let me try. That was his attitude. Anyway, let me try. And by his endeavor, the entire world now can be Krishna conscious. In less than 50 years, the face of the world has been changed. And there are gatherings just like this one all over the world. Prabhupada used to say, just like the British would say that the sun never sets on the British Empire, the sun never sets on the Krishna consciousness movement as inaugurated by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Simply because He said, let me try. He didn't think, well, I know I have to be 100% successful or otherwise everything's going to be a failure. Let me try. So He tried, Krishna reciprocated. We can take that example in our own hearts and try. Try to give a little of our time, a little of our money, a little of our effort, a little of our intelligence, whatever little thing we have. If we give that to Krishna, then we'll never be the loser for doing that. So these are some thoughts on New Year's resolutions. I've also written a bit more humorous piece on New Year's resolutions for isconnews.org. So if you want to go there, you can read that about my own struggles with New Year's resolutions. But does anyone have any questions or comments at this point? Yes, sir? Yes. I want to do something in Live Oak. So, as we always think, whenever you use it, it's complete. Well, you could start by inviting devotees to come to your home there. And then what we do a lot around the towns in this area, sometimes there might be an art festival or something like that, some downtown festival. The devotees that come and they do Harinam in those places, they chant the holy name in public. Or maybe in the some school or college that's there, can arrange for some devotee to come and speak there. But I think that you can speak with our Keshava, Krishna Keshava Prabhu here. He organizes so many of our Harinam Sankirtans, and he may come there. Our other Shaksha Gopal Prabhu, he may arrange some home program there in your house like that, where you can invite your friends. You start small, and then you can invite people to come, just like you invited your friend here to come this evening, which is very good of you, and I thank you for doing that. Those small things can have a, reap a big result, and so we needn't worry about starting small. We just start something small, and it'll grow, just like the live oak tree will grow in Live Oak, Florida. We also have... Well, there's a lot of devotees in Trinidad and Guyana in our community here. Denver. Okay, well, we'll definitely try to get there. Oh, very nice. You're very fortunate. Just see. Very nice. Thank you very much. Anything else before we take Krishna Prasadam? All glories to Srila Prabhupada.